You're listening to the Sportsman's Empire Podcast Network, brought to you by Full Sneak Gear. Check out their entire lineup at fullsneakgear.com. Also, be sure to check out our entire stable of podcasts at sportsmansempire.com. This episode of the Sportsman's Empire is brought to you by Interstate Batteries. Since 1952, Interstate Batteries has been evoking compassion and a trustworthy spirit into the surrounding communities. Interstate Batteries is a mission-driven company fueled by purpose and guided by their values. If you need help locating a specific battery, stop into your local Interstate Batteries retail store and speak with a battery specialist. They even offer cell phone repairs. Interstate Batteries, outrageously dependable.
Two Good & Co. coffee creamers are made with farm-fresh cream, real milk, and contain 3 grams of sugar per serving. That's 40% less than the 5 grams per serving in leading traditional coffee creamers for a rich, delicious experience. Whether you enjoy your coffee hot, cold, bold, or frothy, Two Good coffee creamers make every sip a good one. Two Good coffee creamers, real goodness in every sip. Find them at your local Kroger in the creamer aisle.
Ready to relax in your dream bath retreat without the stress of figuring out every detail yourself? At the Home Depot, your bath upgrade is covered. Shop fully designed rooms and curated bath collections to go from inspiration to transformation fast. Savings of up to 40% will make it easier on your budget. And find everything you need, from tubs to toilets and all the tile in between, to bring your vision to life. The Home Depot. Dream baths built here.
Happy Friday, everybody. Welcome back to another episode of the Nine Finger Chronicles podcast. I'm your host, Dan Johnson. And this week has been crazy from weird. All right. So it's spring break here in our household. The kids have been gone a lot, actually. They've been to the grandparents. They've, you know, gone fishing. They've been outside. They've gone to like trampoline parks. They've hung out with some cousins, things like that. So it's kind of quiet in our house. But I, for some reason, and maybe it's because I'm getting old, I don't know, but like, I'm tired as shit today. Like, I don't know what it is. I don't think I really have done anything other than maybe go to the gym, we went out to dinner a couple nights this week because my wife, you know, the kids are gone. So I'm going to take advantage of a little bit of that kind of stuff. But, I think I'm just stressing out about work, to be honest with you. I don't know if there's any people who are self-employed out there. I know that there's a handful of you who have your own businesses, but there's this thing that happens with me right about this time every year. And it is, how much money am I going to make this upcoming year? Because a lot of my contracts from partnerships expire within the next 3 months. And then, you know, you're always in kind of like, I don't want to really call them negotiations, but you're talking to these people who you're partners with, and they're making the decision for their company, whether or not they want to advertise on the network or on this podcast or whatever. And so what we have is this period of time where I'm in limbo, and I'm always kind of sitting there. Like, I don't know. I'm that guy who just, I try to think about the best, but plan for the worst. So what's going to happen if zero of these partners come back, or I don't fill any advertising slots and so forth and so on. And it's like a dread that just kind of sits over you. And, you know, like if you are a person who owns your own business, then you know that you just don't make a standard paycheck every month. Right. So for me, there's like two or three times a year where I'll get big lump sums of money. And then that has to last throughout the course of, the year. And so, you know, I didn't make any money in February or March. So that's 2 months with $0, but I'm coming in on April, May, and June, where I'll be making in a short period of time, a lot of money. But over the course of the year, you spread that out and you're just like, okay, You know, you got to balance the budget just like any, you know, employer would. But these are the things that I think about. And so last night I was laying in bed and I was just having one of those worst case scenario type moments. I couldn't fall asleep. And all of a sudden, I have no idea why I was started thinking about this, but I don't know. I rolled over and my ceiling fan was on. So I felt like this little breeze blowing down on me. And I don't know why I started thinking about thermals. Okay. And thinking about all of the different times I have been busted, whether it has been a doe with a buck, maybe a doe busted me first, or a big old buck coming down the lane, coming down the trail, or, you know, stood up out of bed or whatever. And he caught my, you know, he caught my scent, and all of the times I got busted. And I don't know why I started thinking about this, but I started thinking about what busted me. Was it bad thermals or was it bad wind direction? And I sat there for a second. I was like, you know, I actually think I've been busted because they've caught my thermals more than they've actually got straight up downwind of me. Now, that doesn't happen every time. And then I started thinking about what I've done in the past to kind of fight those things. And so I'm sitting here just spitballing this podcast right now because I feel like I have been screwed over more times by changing thermals than actual changing or inconsistent wind direction. And I think some of the reason why wind direction becomes inconsistent is because they're fighting thermal drafts, right? And so let's think about this for a second. Let's think about a very cool, crisp November morning. A front has already pushed through and it's bright and it's sunny out. And maybe you are, if you're in the Midwest or the Northern Hemisphere, it's now a north wind, right? And so you have a north wind, you're on, for all intents and purposes, a ridge of like a wooded ridge, and the wind is coming out of the north, but the sun is hitting the south facing slope, causing thermals to come up. Okay. And so while that sun is rising, right, and that sun might not be where you want it, you know, hitting you yet, you have this negative thermal pull that's pulling everything down. And that would be coming with the wind direction, right? So if anything gets below you, that could cause, you know, issues. But then that sun hits you and it starts doing a thermal pull up, and now it's fighting the wind direction. And I've found this, that moment when it shifts and it starts tends to be the time where when it's in transition is the times that I have been busted the most. When the thermals are shifting and the deer are coming through an area. And most of the time, I would say this would be in a transition area, or this would be in a staging area, maybe at night. You know, you walk in there, it's warm, it's nice, and then the sun goes down, everything gets cool, and then the thermals pull down to the lowest spot, whether you're on top of the ridge or you're on the side of the ridge. And I've seen deer just know what to do. Like they just know what to do. And everybody says, oh, these dumb animals. They're very in tune with wind and thermals, and their trails are where their trails are for a reason. You know, bedding is where bedding's at for a reason. I'm kind of going off on a crazy tangent here, but let's just kind of say bedding for example. Sun's up, if it's cold out in November or October, they're going to try to find a place that's comfortable for them. Maybe if it's cold out, they want a south-facing slope, some warm season grasses. They're going to find a place where the wind is blowing, you know, over their backs, and thermals could potentially be pulling up from a bottom if it's nice and sunny. If it's cloudy, you know, I feel like they're going to be lower in cloudy weather, so they get thermal pulls down for a bedding area. And so I've noticed that as deer move through the landscape, and here's what sucks even worse is when you have one of those days where there's big old clouds in the sky and you're sitting in a tree stand, let's say in an afternoon, and the sun goes behind a cloud, your thermals drop. And then they come back up and the sun comes out and then they rise up again. And that can be really frustrating, especially if you're fighting a specific wind direction. Here's an example. Imagine this creek running north-south. All right. And on the north piece of this property, there's a where timber meets ag, and it turns into a little bit of a staging area. Okay, I've talked about this exact stand before. Let me get a drink of coffee here. And so in this little area, they're coming from the south. Okay, I always hunt it on a south wind. They're coming actually with the wind to this spot, so that when they get out in the field, all of the wind is coming from the cover, right? They can see everything else, but the wind is coming from the cover. So they will come to this little creek crossing right in front of me. And then they make a decision whether they go north of me, they cross the creek to the north of me, or they cross the creek to the south of me. And here's what I have seen in a scenario like this. Low terrain is to the south, high terrain is to the north. So if it is sunny outside and the southern wind is kind of matching the thermal pull, they all go to the north of me. And then they'll pop out in that field. And sometimes I get busted, sometimes I don't, because, you know, they make it around me in some way, shape, or form. But by then I will have had a potential shot at a deer that, you know, they come within 10, 15 yards of me. I got the shot. If I want to shoot him, I shoot him. If I don't, I just let him go. All right. Now the tricky part is when the thermals are, it's a cloudy day in that area. I have a predominant south wind, the only reason I'll hunt this stand. And then the thermal pull also wants to pull south down to lower terrain. And so what we have is this, I don't know what the specific term for it is, but it's a thermal tide. And it's almost like a swing where the predominant wind will win for a little bit during the gusty part of it. But then as the wind settles down, it's hitting all this vegetation, and maybe it's not a real consistent wind, but the thermal will pull back into the shaded area. So all shade is pulling these thermals into the timber, and then the predominant wind blows it back out. So you almost have this swing of thermals back and forth. The other place that I've seen this is in a draw leading up to a cattle pasture, where as the sun comes up, it's almost like two levels of air. And I've dropped milkweed in these scenarios before, and the milkweed will just float right on top of the cooler airflow, and it won't go anywhere. It'll just sit right there. And you can see almost this little swinging effect, and that gets lower. That level of air gets lower as as the sun starts to come up on certain days. Sometimes that level of air won't change if it's overcast and there's no sun, or it's really, you know, really cold. But what I've seen is these deer kind of congregate right around where that that level of air is. And so they may, let's say you're hunting in a transition area between food and bedding. They come through this travel corridor and they know certain times a day to come through these areas, and it almost seems to coincide with where that air level is. So in the mornings, they're going to come down with the thermal pull. They might not be in the sunlight, and they may be relatively high on the landscape, but they're going to be below that thermal pull so they can catch everything coming down. Now, in the afternoon, let's say they come out of bed and they're going back to that destination food source. You just use your own wind direction and scenario here, but they tend to be lower on the terrain in the afternoons because all of that air level change is right in there somewhere. It's always lower because the cooler air is lower in the terrain, especially on the north facing slopes later in the year when there is a lot of terrain in shade all day long. All of my big wood guys probably know this, where you will see, you'll see a pool of, you'll be walking through the woods and you'll hit this cool pocket of air. It's because no sun has hit that area all day long. And that's where some of the craziness happens, where I know a lot of us have been in a scenario where we walk into a big chunk of timber and we find the sign all in this little pocket where maybe there's several ridges that go up from there, or maybe there's a big ridge with a couple smaller ridges up at the top. And you'll see a lot of deer sign, maybe a lot of rubs or scrapes in these pockets, and you try to set up on it and you're in a dishwasher or a washing machine full of like air, because your scent is hitting thermals, hitting wind, hitting terrain, and it just cycles through there. And it's damn near impossible to hunt in some of those areas. And I've really learned that those are great areas to hunt in cloudy days, because the thermal pulls pulling down and the sun, there's no wind direction. Obviously you still would have to play the major wind direction, but the thermals aren't necessarily pulling up and fighting the wind direction there. So for some reason, I've always gotten closer to deer in the timber lower with cloudy skies. Now with let's say the same scenario, I couldn't hunt that little pocket, the lower pocket of sign, on a sunny day, because I always feel like the sun causes more wind. You're fighting thermals and it becomes inconsistent for your scent cone in that lower pocket. But what I'll do is I will guess what trail comes out of that pocket, because I'm envisioning here deer bedding on one ridge. They come down through this little low pocket, then they come back up another ridge. So I want to be on the ridge closest to the destination, right? Food source or doe bedding or something like that. And then I'll hunt a little higher so that my thermals, if it's sunny out, go high. And I'm trying. This time of year, you're going to find me jigging for crappies off my father-in-law's boat, celebrating a successful turkey hunt, or just sitting on the back deck watching time go by with a quality cigar from Thompson Cigar. Thompson Cigar has been around since 1915, offering the widest array of cigars and cigar accessories at very affordable prices. Thompson Cigar offers your favorite brands like Swisher Sweets, Cohiba, Backwoods, and Monte Cristo shipped fresh directly to your door. Also, be sure to check out their 5-pack fever deals and join their value club for big savings. Visit thompsoncigar.com and enter the discount code SE at checkout for 20% off of all orders over $75. Thompson Cigar, quality cigars at affordable prices. To avoid the wind, the prominent wind thermal like conflict there. And it just becomes really hard. But if you can to find this, and you only find these places by going out and hunting, there's times where you're going to think that the thermals are going to be your friend and they're actually not, right? Or that the wind is going to be your friend and it actually won't, right? There can be times when you're in a really thick, nasty pocket and the thermals actually play a bigger role in sucking downhill in all this shade, because thermals on the ground can also be different than thermals up high. You get in the tree, your thermal, and it's sunny, your thermals could suck up. But if you're in this really thick, let's just say river bottom bedding where everything close to the ground is in shade, but everything up high is in the sun, you're going to also have a level of air there that, and this is where access routes come important. I didn't want to talk about access routes, but I'm basically walking into it right now. But
close your eyes, exhale, feel your body relax, and let go of whatever you're carrying today.
Well, I'm letting go of the worry that I wouldn't get my new contacts in time for this class. I got them delivered free from 1-800-CONTACTS. Oh my gosh, they're so fast.
And breathe.
Oh, sorry. I almost couldn't breathe when I saw the discount they gave me on my first order. Oh, sorry. Namaste.
Visit 1-800-CONTACTS.com today to save on your first order.
1-800-CONTACTS.
You get in there, your thermal scent pulls your, you think, oh my God, you know, the wind is going to blow my scent right out of here. But there's no wind when you're walking in because it's thick. And therefore, the thermals are pulling back down into this thick pocket where you're expecting the deer to come through. Then you get up in the tree and then you have the wind in your favor. But what you don't know is that you just boogered out all the deer without even seeing them because your thermals have pulled down into the bedding area and you can't see. They've stood up and they walk the other direction. And maybe this is just me being absolutely crazy about access routes, wind direction, thermals. I am really aggressive with my wind direction, right? I'm that guy who believes that if all things go right, my deer will catch my scent and I don't need to stop him. Like, that's how I set up, is when a deer's coming through the terrain, he catches something, but I'm already at full draw and I let the arrow go. That's happened a handful of times, not just with big bucks, but with does as well. And so I have this quartering wind, or I have this 90 degree wind, and I'm trying to catch the deer in that scent cone. But the inconsistencies come when whether it's overcast or whether it is cloudy out. I would rather have an all sunny day or an all sunny sit or an all overcast sit than opposed to like just partly cloudy, you know, lots of shadows coming through, lots of change, you know, a big period of sun and then a cloud comes through, cools things down, then a big period of sun and then clouds come through and cool everything down. And I would rather have consistency in sunshine and overcast and cloud cover than I would a partly sunny day where it's all that. That's when I start to see the inconsistencies with thermals fighting wind direction and wind being also inconsistent. And that's why those days leading up, usually what happened, it's like, if you know 24 hours before a front is going to come through, as the front is coming through, we have a turmoil in the thermals and the wind direction, because you know a wind shift is more than likely coming. So you tend to have a steady wind direction 24 hours before the front comes through. And then you tend to have a stable wind direction when I mean stable, I mean coming out of one direction. Yeah, that might shift, you know, if I say a southwest, west, northwest, it's going to stay west and that's going to give you something. But I've always seen that there's those consistencies. And so from a thermal standpoint, you want to hunt thermal, you know, thermal consistency. And this might be extremely complex if you're a new hunter, but That's why it's so important to have milkweed or some type of grass or synthetic little floaty in the air. And I'm that guy who I am always checking my wind. I'm throwing stuff out, always checking, because if something happens and my thermals are maybe my predominant wind direction is going down into the timber and I think it's going to hug the timber, then you see that little bitty cotton ball or whatever milkweed cut into the timber because thermals are sucking it in. I've been busted by that a lot back in the day when I was first getting into strategy, real heavy. I would say 2006 is the first year that I really started taking hunting seriously. And it wasn't just a for fun thing anymore. I mean, it's still fun, but like when I became obsessed, and I would just think, okay, the wind is going to take care of me. The wind is going here. It's going to go that direction for infinity. Well, it doesn't do that. And so then I started messing with thermals, right? Then I started learning about thermals. So you got the wind direction, you got the thermals, but if it's a low wind day, thermals are going to be more predominant. And then when wind hits terrain, like massive amounts of terrain, thermals on the opposite side of that terrain where the wind is not that heavy or it's blocked by the terrain, thermals are going to play a role there too. And so I've had to revisit a lot of hunting trees or spots throughout my hunting career because I thought they were good right there. But what was happening is thermals 20, 30, 50, 60, however you name it, yards from my tree stand, there would be a thermal pull and it would suck things back down into a river bottom or pool in a low spot that I didn't think they were there. And, you know, as I'm watching natural deer movement come towards me, they hit a pocket of my scent or, you know, maybe it's a pocket of Ozonics and they get kind of spooked. Or they're just like, what is going on here? They become nervous and maybe they pop out into the field earlier or they take another route or they just don't come in. Maybe they turn around and go a completely different direction. So I've had to find those areas where I know where my thermal pull is. I know what's happening, not just in the stand with me or while I'm sitting in the tree, but what's happening 20, 30, 40 yards down from me as well. And that's why it's very important. And that's why you see a lot of these guys carrying synthetic, you know, fibers or milkweed in the stand with them. And so as I sit here and probably make no sense of what I'm talking about, these are the completely asinine things that I talk about or think about while I'm laying in bed contemplating my life. Right. And so I cycle through all of my tree stands and it's crazy. This is no joke. I sit there and I go, okay, what wind, right? Because what will happen is terrain dictates a lot, right? Terrain dictates what thermals will do. Terrain dictates what, you know, like I can hunt this terrain on these wind directions. So I'll find a tree stand location. I will go ahead and put, I'll set the thermals and then I'll start thinking I'll rotate through every wind direction. And then in my head, I say, okay, cloudy day, what's happening on this wind direction? If it's cloudy, what's happening, on this stand, on this wind, if it's sunny out, what's happening when, you know, the wind shifts and comes at a different angle. What's the terrain going to, you know, how's the terrain going to affect thermals and shit like that? And I'm not joking. I will go through hundreds of different scenarios on every tree stand, wind direction, overcast versus sunshine, partial cloudy, south winds, north winds, east winds. You know, is it a warm day? Is it a cool day? Is it a pre-front day? Is it a post-front day? And I sit there and I just obsess about it to the point where I'm probably doing more damage than good. But I will say that once I have started obsessing about access routes, thermals, and wind direction, I have been busted less over the last 5 years. I would say the last 5 years, I've really gotten crazy with it, but I have been busted less because of these thoughts. And I know now that, you know, and obviously the more you hunt, the more you'll figure out these terrain, this terrain, these thermals, this wind direction game that we all try to play. Then you realize, oh my God, I got busted here last time. I shouldn't go here during these specific scenarios or these specific conditions. I need to maybe play off for a day, wait for an overcast day, or wait for a really sunshiny day where thermals are consistent and I have the right wind direction, so forth and so on. And that can be hard to do if you have limited time or limited vacation days. And so, but I do feel like the moral of this story, the moral of this conversation is that overcast, you're going to find consistent thermals. Sunshine, you're going to find consistent thermals. And you pair the consistent thermals with consistent winds, and I feel like you're going to get busted less in the woods. Now, it's November 6th, right? You have inconsistent thermals. You have inconsistent winds because of fronts coming through. Does that mean that you should not hunt? Absolutely not. It means that you should find areas where wind direction is going to trump thermals. So extremely high or extremely low in the terrain, or if you're in a location where thermals don't play a role, like flatter terrain. They don't play as big of a role in flatter terrain as they would, let's say, like in Midwest Fingers. The other thing that we really didn't talk about today, and I know plays a huge role, is water. So if you are hunting next to a river, there's a thermal pull coming out with the direction of that water. And that direction of that water is causing a thermal pull because the water is typically colder than the air temperature and not all the time, but there's before the freeze, right? So it's especially in a morning hunt where the water hasn't had time to warm up yet. It's been dark all night. Maybe it's borderline freezing, and that is pulling thermals towards it, right? And so I don't know. Maybe a lake or a pond, right? There's going to be cool temps there, and then maybe you're hunting on a pond wall or a dam, and maybe it's in the shade, and that water is causing a thermal pull down into the runoff that goes down into the creek, that goes down into the river. And I've seen thermals do some weird things in it where water's involved too. I've actually had a lot of guys on the podcast talk about maybe hunting a creek or maybe a small river or something, and they hunt the bank of it, and they rely on that thermal pull to pull their scent away from where they feel the deer are going. And they've done that a lot. I typically have not done a lot of that particular use of thermals, but most of mine is in the timber or fingers or ridge tops and things like that. So I don't know why. I don't know why I decided to just do a solo episode about thermals. It's just something that popped into my head. It's basically a rant. I would strongly suggest this upcoming year, as you go into your tree stand locations, maybe you're going to run and gun on some public, I would really think about thermals a little bit more and try to find those areas where you can have consistent thermal pulls on a variety of different types of weather condition days. And I feel like the closer you can get to those areas where thermal pulls are consistent, you're going to the only thing I can say is I have found those to be more consistent deer movement with less threat of being busted. I hope that makes sense. So, I just want to take a opportunity and send a huge shout out to all of the partners of the Nine Finger Chronicles podcast. We have Hunt Stand. If you're looking for some badass camo, go to huntstand.com. We have Wasp Archery. If you're looking for, in my opinion, some of the best broadheads on the market from a material design standpoint, most of their heads are made in America. WaspArchery.com, discount code NFC20. Vortex Optics. I'm actually going to be doing another Vortex week here pretty soon. And it's going to be like three interviews with people who are employed with Vortex, all outdoor themed, of course. And then I have a new product podcast on the Hunting Gear podcast that we're going to be doing not next week, but the week after. A lot of conversation or a lot of products have come out recently for Vortex that are red dots. So like I went up there and I put two red dots on two different shotguns. What was it? 2 weeks ago. And so now I have these two new red dots on my shotguns for my kids to make hunting a little easier and for me as well. Or if you're a pistol person, they have a lot of new red dots for pistols as well. So vortexoptics.com, go check that out. Code Blue Sense. You guys have heard me talk a lot about Code Blue Sense and how I use their mock scrape kit in my strategy. So CodeBlueSense.com. I do have a discount code NFC20 for 20% off. Let's see. Hunt Stand. I'm missing one. Reveal Trail Cameras. I always like to tell everybody that, you know, as of right now, man, Reveal is like one of the top cameras in the game. Man, they're affordable first and foremost. Their platform works as far as sending, you know, getting the app, setting up the trail camera, getting pictures into your phone. I mean, it's just really, really easy. And so, Reveal Trail Cameras, go to tacticam.com/cameras, check out their new 3.0 versions of those cameras. Full Sneak Gear, my company. I have a brand new, three brand new t-shirts that have come out within the last couple months. And, I'll tell you right now, I think they're badass. I'm getting a lot of people buying the new, I call it the Absolute Turkey Tee. So, go check out fullsneakgear.com and take a look at all of the products that I currently offer. So 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. I think that's it. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for listening to me rant today. Do me a favor, go to the Sportsman's Empire website, sportsmansempire.com. Check out our full lineup of podcasters, tons of different awesome content. And then also I want to make sure that you guys know that we are looking for podcasters. And so if you think you have an idea, if you want to try a podcast out, whether it's state specific, whether it's about turkey, whether it's about fish, guns, dogs, you name it, we are interested. And then you'll go through a vetting process where I have a very high quality standard for the content that is put out on the network. And if you pass that quality test and you feel like you want to do a podcast, then we'll work together. But I gotta keep the quality high. So if you've been thinking about it, if you think you can do it, hit me up on Instagram, Nine Finger Chronicles Instagram DM, and we'll go from there. So good vibes out, good vibes in. And if you're gonna be in a tree, wear a safety harness. We'll talk to you next time.
Spring break isn't what it used to be. It's better. This spring, stay 3 nights and get a $50 Best Western gift card. Life's a trip. Make the most of it at Best Western. Visit bestwestern.com for complete terms and conditions.
You're listening to the Sportsman's Empire Podcast Network, and this episode is brought to you by Interstate Batteries. For all of your battery needs, visit your local Interstate Batteries retail store. Interstate Batteries, outrageously dependable.